welcome into the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. I am the aforementioned Patrick Netherton. We're so pleased to have you with us for this episode. Our journey has taken us to a lot of places around Texas so far. You've heard from Daniel Vaughn, who is the current curator of the Texas Monthly Top 50 list. You have heard from the guys at Sunbird Barbecue in Longview, new members of the Texas Monthly Top 50 list. You have heard from the guy who finished the top 50 list first, in Brett Kawada. And now we're going to keep you in Texas, at least for this week. We do have plans to get outside of Texas in the coming weeks. But this week, we want to talk to the guy who knows more about sausage than the sausage king of Chicago, Abe Froman. If any Ferris Bueller fans are out there, remember Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago. We're going to talk to Bill Dumas. Bill Dumas is the sausage sensei. This is a guy who has been making sausage for years. He has done it at both sort of an industrial level. He has done it at the craft level. He has been making incredible links of all kinds, and he has been spreading the gospel of sausage all around not only the country, but all around the world. We're going to talk all about how he got started, how he made his move, and how he got into sausage making. And, you know, they always say, don't learn how the sausage is made. Well, we're going to tell you how the sausage is made, and it is pretty fascinating stuff. What was his first crazy sausage? What are his latest creations? And maybe what's on his mind upcoming? We're going to get to all of that as well. Hey, don't forget, we want you to participate in our show. Many ways to get involved. Coming up after the interview, we have The Smoke, which is, of course, our viewer and listener mailbag. So we want to hear from you. We love your comments on our Instagram, on our Twitter, on our Facebook, on the videos themselves, on Facebook or on YouTube, and of course, on any of your podcast sites. We are the BBQ Hound, basically anywhere you go, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And don't forget our YouTube channel. You can comment on there as well. So please leave comments. Please tell us how what your thoughts are, your feelings, and we'll read those in an upcoming edition of The Smoke. But now let's chat with the sausage sensei himself, Bill Dumas, from down in Seguin, Texas. This is going to be a fun one. Working for Schultz's Pit Room right now, but a guy who has done sausage all over the world. We're pleased to welcome in the sausage sensei himself. Nobody knows more about the Lynx, except maybe Tiger Woods or Scottie Scheffler at this point, than Bill Dumas does. He is the man who knows everything about sausage. We're going to get into a lot of that and in sausage making. You know, they tell you never see how the sausage is made, right? Well, this guy disproves that rule if ever there was one. Bill, first of all, we've been dealing with a heat wave over the last couple of weeks. Are you surviving being in the pit room at Schultz's down in Seguin?
Well, let's see here. When I was wrapping briskets earlier, it was a nice, balmy 109 degrees in there. So it was great.
Yeah. You know that we're going to get into your past and sausage and all that stuff, but I am curious just because of the weather. Would you rather it be 30 degrees and you go into the pit room, 100 degrees? Would you rather it be really cold or really hot?
Somewhere in the middle. Think Southern California.
Well, sure. It'd be great if it was 70, but let's just assume you don't have that available to you.
We don't, because in this neck of the woods is just varying degrees of summer. And I mean, goodness, it was when I jumped in the truck today, it was on the way home, it was 98 degrees in the air temperature, but the feels like temperature was obviously more. And heck, we're in August, which is what you'd assume, but it'll stay this way until heavens, all the way into September. I don't think it really cools off until we get past Halloween. Ugh.
So would you rather winter or summer in the pit?
I'm more of a summer person.
Okay. All right.
Because the house I grew up in, we did not have air conditioning.
Gotcha.
So I'm a summer guy.
Well, speaking of growing up and your background, that's kind of where we always like to start with folks. You know, everyone gets bitten by the barbecue bug in some way. And as we just mentioned, obviously, you're not just a sausage guy. We're going to talk a lot about that. But where and when did the barbecue bug bite you?
Probably in 1973. I'm that old.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my grandfather had, his name was Curtis Dumas Sr. Grandkids called him Popeye. So Popeye, whenever he retired from the apparel business in 68 or 69, he started a little side hustle, side business where he was barbecuing split chickens over direct hot coals.
Okay.
So, and then he sold an company, a molasses and coffee-based barbecue sauce that went with the chickens. So at about 5 years of age, he scooped me up. I got to spend more time with him than any of the other grandkids. We have a huge family and spent a lot of time with him. He saw me as free labor.
Sure.
Because he was born in 1915. So that means free labor to that generation. So
absolutely.
He worked the dog out of me, that's for sure. But that imprinted itself upon me. So my earliest memories are the sights, the sounds, the smells of those chickens over the direct hot coals, as well as the barbecue sauce and the customers and the neighbors that would come from all over. But yeah, that imprinted itself on me.
So when did then that sort of love for the recreation aspect of it, and obviously your grandfather was doing it a little bit as a hustle, but when did that become, okay, let me turn an avocation into a vocation?
Oh boy, when you're as old as myself, and I've just turned 57, you do a lot of things. So I'm a Marine Corps veteran, so I was in the Marine Corps, Semper Fi. And I've been an industrial refrigeration technician with the compression of ammonia as a main source of refrigerant. Still hold that license. I've been an over-the-road truck driver. Fun fact, I was in Brooklyn unloading a load of air conditioners 2 days before 9/11.
Wow.
I remember that distinctly. Remember on a payphone, remember those? Talking on the payphone, looking that way across towards where the Holland Tunnel would be, that way from Brooklyn, and seeing the tippy top of the Twin Towers. 2 days later, they were down.
Wow.
Crazy. So anyway, so I've done a lot of things, but none of those jobs quite fulfilled me. So absolutely didn't. So, you know, as time goes on, I obtained a job back in 2013 or so. Yeah, it was 2013, with Smoky Denmark Smoked Meats over in East Austin.
Okay.
And I was just, you know, a hired gun, making all manner of commercially produced sausages and sausage products and so on and so forth, as well as wild game processing as well. But the company, Smoky Denmark, wanted to highlight their products that they sold. They started a food truck in front of the production facility. They had a guy running it. Excuse me. Allergies. I had a guy running it, but, you know, he left. And because I had a background, sort of, from a hobbyist perspective, in respect to barbecue, they put me in the truck. And mind you, this is 2013, so it was still kind of the wild, wild west of what we now know as the craft barbecue movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the competition was good, but it wasn't as concentrated as it is now. In 2013, you know, whenever I started running that food truck, there was John Miller, who was right back over here at 6th and Cardinalis, right behind Kelly's bar. He was running the second iteration, or actually the third iteration of his business, Miller Meat Company, or JM Meat Company, actually. And then you had Law Barbecue that had just moved into their second lot over off of East Cesar Chavez. And then there was us, as well as Micklewaite, and of course Aaron, and those guys doing their stuff. So we were all in that pretty close, tight circle over in East Austin. So we started, you know, doing the barbecue thing full bore, just as everybody else was. Daniel came around, Vaughn.
Right.
And we got some notoriety, you know, from him. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel, I've been knowing him for goodness, a good while now.
He was our first guest on the podcast, as a matter of fact, on our second episode.
Yeah, he was just sober at our shop 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he's a good guy. He really is. I wouldn't want that job.
No, I would not either. As much flack as
he probably takes.
No, I wouldn't
want that job. But he's a good person, man. But no, so Daniel started coming around, and we were doing our things. But there was a customer that was coming around to Smoky Denmark and buying sausage, but also because, you know, what we were putting out on the Smoky Denmark food truck was unlike anybody else. We were making, or I was making, along with my partner, Keenan Goldis. Got to give huge props to Keenan. We're making things like apple pie sausage, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Blueberry mint sausage, South African boerewors. We're making all kinds of crazy concoctions. And I think that's what got Daniel's attention, but it got a lot of other people's attention too. But there was a customer that would come around, and we'd trade wieners and trade sausages because he was making sausage too.
Yeah.
And that was John Brotherton.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And then John and I became really good friends, stayed in touch. I left Smoky Denmark in 2015 and went to work with Shane Stiles, Lance Kirkpatrick, and the crew over at Style Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, we were the only craft barbecue establishment at that time in that era that were open for late night hours. So we were doing lots of really good business, you know. Lots of business. That place stayed busy. They're still busy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was at Style Switch, you know, for about 4 years. During that tenure, we got Texas Monthly Top 50 in, what was that, 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Largely thanks to the input and from a fellow that we got from Friedman's, Chris McGee. Chris is awesome. So I was over there at Styles for about 4 years. And then John Brotherton, always supportive, always came around to Styles. But he hit me up at kind of a tipping point where I was like, kind of getting burned out. There's a lot of volume at Styles, a lot.
Yes.
And John,
especially staying open those hours, you know, the nighttime service is a lot different.
It's a lot different. And I was working a lot of overnight hours too. Overnight hours was where I like to live because heat, I didn't have to deal with the heat.
It's true. It's true.
And I can get away from those pesky customers and people that would bother me in the daytime hours. So yeah, John came around, he hit me up. I guess it was the tail part of 2019 and asked me if I wanted to help him institute a sausage making program for the two restaurants that he was operating at the time. And that was Liberty Barbecue in Round Rock, downtown Round Rock, as well as Brotherton's Black Iron Barbecue in Pflugerville.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, of course. I started with John in January 2020 and instituted the program really quickly. I was already knew what I was doing, already knew what I wanted to do for John. So it was relatively quick. And we had three types of sausages on John's everyday menu across those two restaurants. And that was great until COVID happened. COVID happened, shut everyone down. We had to shut Liberty and Round Rock down for a bit, reopened that in June of 2020. But there's a really good friend of mine, and I was just thinking about him today. Perhaps you've heard of him, and that would be Max. It's the only person I know that has three names.
Mm.
Max, a.k.a. Marto Cifari, a.k.a. Texicana Barbecue,
mm-hmm.
right? Worldwide Barbecue Consultant. Max, if you recall, worked at Franklin during that tenure when they got the James Beard. And then he also worked with Bill Curlin, underrated, over on Easter Shabbos. But Max is the worldwide barbecue consultant, and his videos during the highlight of what he was producing for Texicana Barbecue, his channel, were just spectacular. Nonetheless, Max was grounded, couldn't do his worldwide thing, so it was upon his suggestion that I started to doing sausage classes upon his suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
So in June of 2020, I just put it out there as a lark, you know, not knowing if anyone would want to be interested. So sure as heck they were. So from June of 2020 until June of this year, June 2025, I was been fully booked every single Saturday that I was not on the road. And there was a lot of road dates. I had somebody within the doors making, you know, doing a sausage class. And that got me connected up with Harry Sue, Slap Yo Daddy Barbecue, out in Los Angeles. And I've been doing sausage classes with Harry now for about 4 years, once a quarter in Los Angeles. And heck, I've been on, what, 3 different continents, 5, maybe 6 different countries, conducting classes, collaborating, making sausage. It's just been, it's been one heck of a ride, man. Fun fact, if we're talking about notoriety, it's not ego, but it's something to be proud of. And the 2021 Texas Monthly Top 50 listing, 5 of the top 50 came through me to learn sausage production.
There you go.
And on the current list, this one, 25. 6 of the current top 50 have come through my doors. And yes, that includes the number one. So yeah, that's something to be proud of.
No, that is absolutely something to be proud of. So how did you end up in Seguin?
I ended up in Seguin because John Brotherton passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, he passed away. What was that? I'd still be there. I was made partner in the business, to be honest with you. But he passed before the ink could even dry on any contract that wasn't drawn up. It was very unfortunate. I mean, Brotherton was a huge figure in Texas barbecue.
There's, yes,
no one larger. I'll just say that.
Yeah, and as you said, a massive personality as well.
A massive personality. He would give you the shirt off his back, dude, often to his own detriment. But when John passed, it put the whole business in a tailspin. And I saw the writing on the wall. I knew, you know, I'm old enough to know better. I can read tea leaves pretty well. And I had 6 months of sausage classes booked out. I had to do something, you know. Yeah. The good folks, Clifford, Sherry, and Kayla Schultz, I knew them because Kayla Schultz and their pitmaster, Robert Celestino, took a sausage class from me in July of 2023. Mm-hmm. So I knew what they wanted to do and knew what they wanted to achieve. And they had just built out that beautiful restaurant. It's a really nice restaurant. I mean, it's built for speed. It is awesome. But I knew what they wanted. That happened with John. So I needed to find a new home, and I needed to find it quick. So I reached out to them and see if they might be interested in taking me on, letting me fulfill my sausage class obligations and institute a program from them, or for them, rather, that was airtight and keep producing artisanal products. Boom, boom, boom. Because I make things that are not normally seen.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to some of that. Don't worry. Yeah. That's definitely on the list. So they
wanted that.
Yeah. So where do you, obviously, you know, the sausage sensei and all of that, and you talked about doing classes in so many places and so many different spots that you've been in, and, you know, you've traveled down under, all of that stuff. Where did the actual sausage love begin? Where was that? You mentioned, you know, going to a place where you just made sausage, basically. Is that where you sort of developed the love and the passion for it?
I believe so, because when I was at Smoky Denmark Smoked Meats, and remember I told you we put the barbecue truck in front of the facility to show off their wares,
yeah,
right? Fun fact, do you know where that truck is now?
I have no idea.
Well, that truck, we ran it for Smoky Denmark, but once I left and I went to Style Switch, they shut the truck down and sold it to Evan LeRoy.
Wow. Nice.
So that's LeRoy and Lewis truck. So there's a lineage there.
Look, everything is interconnected in the world of barbecue. That's for sure.
See that tattoo?
Yeah.
There it is.
That's the truck.
That's the truck.
Beautiful.
So really, the only people that really have that tattoo are the LeRoy and Lewis crowd and me.
There you go.
Just because of that lineage.
Yeah.
But I hired a guy, during the Wild Wild West of artisanal craft barbecue, as that scene was developing. And there was a gentleman by the name of Keenan Goldis who ran a food truck on 6th Street or in the 6th Street area named Goldis Sausage Company. And Keenan was a wild man. I mean, his stuff was just what? Like marshmallow pumpkin mole sausage, for example.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was reviewed by a food writer for the Austin American Statesman, Mike Sutter, also known as Fedman Walking, who now works for the San Antonio Express. But Mike reviewed me, and we actually ended up becoming friends. And when I had a vacancy at the food truck, I just reached out to Mike and I said, "Hey, man, do you know anybody that might be available?" And Mike said, "Yeah, Keenan is thinking about shutting his truck down. You might holler at him." And I did. And what Keenan was putting out there in his wild, crazy imagination, and basically was like a light switch for me internally in this head that caused me to question and then re-examine what sausage actually could be. So I have to thank Keenan Goldis. And I also have to thank also Chris McGee. Chris McGee is probably the best barbecue person and chef that you've never heard of. He operates Briskets 512, which is Texas Monthly Top 50 now, and also Michelin Bib Gourmand. But Chris's lineage, he started at Lambert's Barbecue in downtown Austin, and then he was employee number one, the very first hire by John Lewis at Law Barbecue. So he goes back to there. But from there, he went to Friedman's. And if you remember Friedman's in downtown, in the downtown area over West Campus, I think it was West 29th Street, Friedman's, think about this. I'm about to blow your mind. Under one roof, Friedman's had Evan LeRoy, Chris McGee, Lane Mill, Cade Mercer, and Joel Garcia, all under one roof.
Yeah, it's amazing. The fraternity of barbecue in Texas is astounding. It really is. It's absolutely incredible.
But those guys, you know, all of those guys were part and parcel for me, you know, to understand how things are put to the plate from process to plate correctly, and also thinking outside the box.
Right.
You know, and that's that thinking outside the box that I really appreciate.
We'll be getting into that here in just a moment. I'm curious, what was the first sausage you made yourself that was your own recipe? Do you remember it? I mean, obviously you had to make stuff for other people that was somebody else's recipe, but do you remember the first thing you made for yourself?
Well, yeah, that would have been on the Smoky Denmark food truck, the apple pie sausage.
There
100%,
you go.
100%. And that was served on a brioche roll with a Granny Smith apple relish and with a caramel mustard sauce. Yeah.
And how did that go over?
It would blew people's minds.
It's blowing my mind just thinking of that. Because look, everyone knows there's, you know, there's sweet, there's savory, salty. Like you have all of these umami, you know, all of that stuff that you want to hit. And it feels like that sausage maybe hits everything.
It does. It goes to your point. It goes across the whole spectrum. So you get the sweet, you get the salty, you get the savory, all in one, and you get the acidic value too from the Granny Smith apples and from the big rice wine vinegar that was in there to pickle the apples as well as the mustard. So yeah, it was probably that one, or maybe the boudin. I made a boudin. Mind you, that was 2013 that we're talking about Smoky Denmark. So it's way before anybody else.
Absolutely.
But, or the boudin for a Red Dirt Barbecue and Music Festival. Mm-hmm. That's when Chase was still organizing that in downtown Tyler.
Yeah.
But the boudin probably then, and that would have been, gosh, you know, 2016, maybe you know, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
What was special about the boudin? Obviously, I'm from Louisiana, so I know from some boudin. You know, that's our specialty around here. Like, yeah. You know, but beyond the pork and the rice, you know, how do you zhuzh it up a little bit?
Well, that one was really just traditional. It was okay. Traditional. It was all get out.
Good.
But that was that. But that segued into other things, you know. But that was more of a traditional one. And mind you, 2016 in Texas, as it relates to Texas barbecue, not very many people were making boudin. Maybe Bodacious on Moberly back in those days. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Brian Bingham made a lot of boudin and still does. You mentioned Bodacious now at Sunbird. He does a lot. And a lot of the Southeast Texas guys. Because uh-huh. They're so close to Southwest Louisiana. That seems to be where the boudin is sort of located.
Uh-huh. But I never saw it on a barbecue plate as it relates to barbecue. I never saw it. Well, I'll tell you when I saw it. I saw it whenever Dylan, whenever they opened up Truth Barbecue in Brenham.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the first time I saw it. Not in Houston, in Brenham. So that's the first time I probably saw it.
So take me to a kind of, you know, you're working for, you know, doing sausage at the Denmark truck and you're kind of getting into that. When did that transition from, and you mentioned being COVID, but how do you go from, hey, I'm going to just make this sausage to, hey, I'm going to teach people how to make this sausage? Where was that transition in your mind?
Well, like I told you, it was Max from Texicana Barbecue, 100%. It would have never come across my brain had it not been from Max, you know, Texicana Barbecue, Max, Mauro Ciupari, remember those names.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to come from Max. And whenever I put it out there and I had the first people come through June of 2020, it was like, bam, you know, and John Brotherton being John Brotherton, he's always going to promote the next guy above himself. That's just how the man was. So if he saw, and he saw it as a win-win, because that would get people through the gates or the doors of his restaurant that may not have thought about coming there or maybe didn't even hear about his establishment had it not been for what I'm doing. So it was like a hand in a glove.
Sure. So you know, you decide to make this move to teaching and while still obviously working, you know, in your normal craft, when did you realize that that was something that could blow up, that, you know, it was more than just, hey, there's a few folks out here who want to learn the craft, to I can travel to Australia to put on classes? Like, where was that sort of growth? Where did that come from?
Well, everything I've done has happened organically. Everything. Like, it's just how it goes. I reckon one thing leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. And I think that just being persistent about it, you know, several things actually. Keep making excellent product for the restaurant. That's where the rubber hits the road. So it has to be done correctly and it has to be good every single day. Cannot be off any day. So you have to make sure that your day in and day out is taken care of. All right. That gets customers in the gate and they recognize that. Two, as you keep going along, you're making more and more and more and more interesting sausages and pushing the envelope of what the sausage can be. That gets more eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Three, has more and more and more people come through taking the classes, and albeit some fairly prominent ones, people that have gone on to become Texas Monthly Top 50 and Michelin recipients as well, I might add, that gets more eyes on that too. So it's just a natural progression, I guess, you know, and gosh, I don't know, you know, it just happens, you know, it's just organic. I don't seek it. It just happens, you know. I'm not going to be the guy that seeks out endorsements. I'm not going to be the guy that seeks out notoriety or fame or any kind of that kind of stuff. That's not who I am. I want it to happen organically. So if an opportunity presents itself, you know, to help the next guy out, the John Brotherton ethos, and pay it forward, then that's good karma, and that's going to come back to you.
So how did you end up in Australia?
I was first in Australia. It's not my first time.
See, you had the perfect opportunity right there to say I flew. So you could have just gone with I flew, and that would have been the perfect answer, and, you know, moved on from there. But no, seriously, how did you end up in Australia?
Well, when I was working at Style Switch, now, mind you, Australia, their barbecue, well, let me back up.
Okay.
New Zealand and Australia, their barbecue scene is burgeoning. It's booming. And I say that with capital B. You know, it's booming. And you have to thank some key figures within that movement that started with the Australian Barbecue Alliance. And that started organically or semi-organically from the comp circuit, right? And the people that were on the tip of the spear for that would have probably been Adam Roberts or Jay Beaumont or David Ong or Lance Rosen. Those are huge, big figures within the Australian barbecue movement. Remember those names. But maybe you've heard of some of them. So, nonetheless, when I was at Style Switch working overnight shifts, tending to all this product, do you have some dead time at about in between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning?
There's some That's usually time. When my dead time is as well, just to let you know, Bill, that's usually my dead time.
I get it. but between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning, so there was a page, you know, Australian Barbecue Alliance, that started, and Facebook page. So I started posting up videos of my nightly cooks. Mind you, I had like 80 to 100 briskets across these pits. You know, there's a lot going on. So I'd put these videos up, and people from all over the Southern Hemisphere were just chiming in. It was like something they hadn't seen before. Okay. So time goes on. I'm still producing all these videos, putting them on the ABA. And, then I put it out there. I said, hey, do any of you want to come here to Austin and work a shift with me at Style Switch or just come on by and say howdy or whatever?
Right.
Dude. It was like a nuclear bomb went off. I had so many Aussies and Kiwis through the gates of that place. They were like, well, who are all these people? What's the attraction with? Well, you know, so I had a lot of people come, and so time goes on, and I put it out there on the post. Hey, anybody would be interested in bringing a Texan down there that knows what they're doing and cooking and whatever, see what happens. So I was contracted. I was brought down in October 2019 to cook a VIP Texas-style barbecue dinner for Barbecue Events Australia at Ascot Racecourse in Perth, Australia. Okay. So that was my very first trip to Oz. And then I went back in October of 2023 to Melbourne to Lance Rosen, Big Boy Barbecue, who you should get to know. Beautiful human being, by the way. So I went to Lance's place. And the guys came over, David Ong and his crew for Pitmaster University. And it was a big collaborative event. And we had a barbecue class and sausage classes at Lance's place in Melbourne, October 2023. And then I went back in March of 2025, back to Perth with David Ong and Pitmaster University. And then came back here for 2, maybe 3 weeks. And then I went back for a month-long tour of from top to bottom, from Queensland to New South Wales to South Australia to the North Island of New Zealand, teaching sausage classes and collaborating. The big event would have been at Meatstock, which is the largest barbecue and grilling festival in the world. That's
Love it.
Documented fact.
Love it.
You know, by Jay Beaumont and his fantastic crew. I was there with Ernest and David from Burnt Bean.
Burnt Bean, yeah.
Yep. Shauna and Sam from London. That's Hang Fire. And then Daniel Lee from Sao Paulo. And then myself. So that was meat stock, and we were part of the fire kitchen there. But anyway, it was a month-long tour for me, top to bottom of Australia and then the North Island of New Zealand, teaching and collaborating sausage classes. And I don't think anybody's done that before.
Yeah, I would be surprised if anyone has. So let's go then into your brain a little bit when it comes to sausage, because you've talked about you put out some interesting things, starting with the apple pie sausage, which is, you know, yep, the very beginning. But, you know, we've seen the red, white and blue. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about Ozzy's tribute sausage as you just came out with. What kind of goes through your brain when you're trying to concoct some new recipe that you want to use?
Well, the thing you have to understand is that sausage production is an applied food science.
Okay.
Weights and measurement and temperature matter. If you're thinking about sausage production, you have to think of it perhaps in the same thought process as a pastry chef.
Yeah, let's say it sounds like baking.
Correct. But what sausage is a temperature-sensitive meat emulsion. But if you understand the parameters and the science of how it's put together, then you can think of any composed dish, explode it and put it back together in a tube, and with visual and textural elements. And that's what I like to do, because there is that part of sausage, but sausage, as it pertains to Texas and more myopically to Central Texas, it's part of our cultural food history, especially as it pertains to Central Texas market style barbecue. And that's because of the Bavarians and the Bohemians that helped settle Central Texas, that they themselves created through the meat markets and the meat market philosophy, what we know has cut by the pound on butcher paper out to the customer.
Right.
It came from here.
Yeah, you think, to me, when I think of sausage, I think of a link in white butcher paper. That's exactly what I think of.
Correct. And it came from here. But so its importance and its relevance as it applies to Central Texas barbecue is part and parcel. But beyond that, if you understand how it's made and the scientific principles of what constructs it, then you can start pushing the envelope, right? And really cause people to stop and consider and question, you know, which is great, and make it make sense. That's the other challenge. So, yeah.
What do you say to people who have sort of a weird, I don't say revulsion, but certainly an unaffinity towards sausage? You know, a lot of people talk about, hot dogs are just hooves and leftover meat and offal and all that stuff. Like, how do you approach people who maybe have some of that backward thinking when it comes to what makes a good sausage or a wiener in this case?
Well, I think the thing about it is, in respect to that, the greater populace are used to what they're used to. We all develop food memories from childhood, right? That being said, if you have a revulsion towards something, it's usually because you've had a bad experience with it, right? Now, all of that being said, you know, sausage is really more important here in this Central Texas than it is perhaps in Kansas City or Eastern Tennessee.
Sure.
But the thing about it is, what my goal is, what my mission is to punch holes and to cause these people to stop and consider, or reconsider, rather. You know, that's what we want to do, because I see it as art. And art, by its my own definition, art is constructed and made, and it's personal, but art's purpose is to cause you to stop, consider, and perhaps question. That's it. And if I can challenge someone, then it's mission accomplished. Not everybody is going to go for a peach cobbler sausage. You know, we served it at Meatstock Australia, and it was widely received. But you watch people, they're like, peach cobbler sausage? It doesn't compute.
Right.
But when you give it to them, and they start processing it, you can see they're like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah, and it's always the same, Bill. If it's balanced, it's always going to be, it's going to be good, right? Like obviously, if you put terrible ingredients, it's not going to work. But if you like you said, a peach cobbler sausage, if the sweetness and the saltiness and the savoriness are balanced, like I've had, you burnt ends. A lot of people love to put sweet sauces on burnt ends, and I've had a blueberry gastric burnt end, and I take it, I eat it, and I'm going, man, it's too sweet. And then that back end salt hits and you go, okay, there's the balance. Now it's fantastic. And I feel like the sausage is the same way. You can put sweet elements, blueberries and all kind of different things in there. But as long as that saltiness and that umami balance is there, you're good.
100% facts. That's an excellent point because it has to be balanced and it has to make sense. You don't want to make something weird just for the sake of being weird. Then you're Frank Zappa. That's not our goal. We need to make it make sense. So, here as of late, I've been taking things that are relatable, like in West Texas and into New Mexico, Allsup's convenience stores, they're known and famous for their fried burritos.
Okay.
So I made an Allsup's fried burrito sausage recently. So that one was very relatable. Another relatable one in California, when we did the collab with Heritage Barbecue there in San Juan Capistrano, we did the In-N-Out double-double animal style.
There you go.
Sauces, every element in there. So these relatable things where you take that whole menu item, boom, boom. And then people have a little bit easier time relating with something of that nature than some of the more abstract ones.
Okay, before we're going to end on some of your unusual sausages and maybe what's coming up next. But before we get that, we're not going to steal your class. We're not going to audit your class without actually paying for it. But I would love you to give the lay folks out there, hey, someone's maybe thinking about, let me do my first sausage. Do you have some just general beginner tips that you give people before they try to get into the world that you're an expert of?
Yeah, just do your research. There's a lot of really good publications, or ideally on YouTube University. Think about it. Have you ever had like a water heater or something break down?
Yeah, sure.
And you're like, how do I fix that? Well, you just look at the water heater and get the nomenclature, and there's someone in there that's made a video about what you're thinking about.
Yep.
That's the beauty of YouTube. There is a, may I do some cross-pollinization?
Please, you absolutely. This is part and parcel of what we do here.
Yeah, so there's a really good guy. His name is Eric, and he is the creator and content creator for Two Guys and a Cooler. That Two Guys and a Cooler YouTube channel is fantastic. There's some really good tips and pointers as it relates to sausage production. That's one. Two would be Brad, a.k.a. Chud, and Bradley, Chud. He has a really good YouTube channel as well that goes over a lot of those rudimentary basics of what sausage production is. So do your research. Watch the channels. Know that you're going to fail. It's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sausage production is very finicky. It's very finicky in respect to weights and measurements and temperature. So just know that you're going to mess some things up. But remember this, that failures actually have something to teach you. Successes don't. I remember my failures way more than I remember my successes. Sure. So that's key. I don't do a lot of videos myself because I'm busy and I'm old and I don't understand editing. So, but those two channels are really good channels. But just remember, you're just going to mess some things up.
Are you still doing classes yourself?
When I got back from Australia and New Zealand, when was that? At the first part of June. Man, that was a lot going on. I'll tell you, dude. From October of 2024 until June of 2025, I was on the go, 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 go. Dude, I've been everywhere. I've been to Costa Rica. I've been to England. I've been back and forth to Australia twice, as well as New Zealand. It's a lot. and there's a, and then keeping the restaurant afloat, and then with the sausage class, it was a lot. So I was just tired, you know. So I decided whenever I got back in June of this year that I would just take a break, pump the brakes, reset, and just concentrate on the business at hand at Schultz's. And so largely since that time, that's what I've been doing. And I've just been taking care of business there. I haven't done any more classes. I have one scheduled with Harry Sue, Slappy Old Eddie Barbecue, in Los Angeles in December, but I don't have anything else on the books until then.
Well, if nothing else, check out Sausage_Sensei on Instagram and just look up Bill Dumas or Sausage Sensei. You'll find him on all the social media channels. Yep. All right, before we get out of here, let's talk about some of the crazy sausages you've done. Red, White, and Blue, you kind of brought that one back. I saw that a while back, and then you brought it back here recently. A patriotic sausage. What the like? How the heck do you? I mean, look, I've even got my Harlem Globetrotters Red, White, and Blue wristband on my mic here.
I do like that, by the way. Meadowlark Lemon, baby.
Yeah, Herb Lang is a good friend of mine who worked at Flight Time, who worked for with the Globetrotters for a while. Yeah. So, what's the inspiration for a Red, White, and Blue sausage, other than America, obviously?
Well, it was made for, you know, 4th of July, but I just wanted to put something that would like maybe twist some people off and they'd be like, what the heck just happened? So that's what I wanted to do. That one was one link at about a half a pound. It was a big boy. Three colors, red, white, and blue. Three different flavors, one link. Red was cherry, white, vanilla cream, blue, blueberry. And it was a devil to make.
I mean, that sounds crazy, just in and of itself.
It was nuts, man. And then this past weekend, I wanted to do something that was a little timely because I like heavy music.
Sure, we were talking about that before the interview. You had the you had the heavy metal going, and much to the consternation of the youngins in there with you.
Yeah, we were jamming with some Sabotage, you know, probably one of the best Black Sabbath albums ever. Hello. But nonetheless, with the recent passing of Ozzy, the Prince of Darkness, I'm a huge Ozzy fan. I wanted to do something in honor of Oz. I'm not a musician by any stretch of the imagination, so I wanted to do something in the medium that I operate in. So I made a Prince of Darkness sausage that was black. I mean, black. And
yeah, midnight black.
Midnight black. But when you cut into it, there's flashes of red and gold, like stage lights.
Yeah.
And that sausage is savory. It looks like, whoa, hello.
Yeah.
But it's savory. Think shepherd's pie or cottage pie or fingers and mash, and you're riding in the pocket. So it's really uber umptuous savory as a result of the black garlic. Lots and lots and lots of black garlic in the sky. The red, the visual and the textural within, was roasted fire. Was roasted red peppers, fire roasted red peppers. And then the gold was Gloucester cheese.
Okay.
And that was your red and gold element inside. And man, that one was well received. I think that whenever I posted it up, in fact, I know it was. I posted it on my Instagram story, and because I have a business page, I can look at analytics. You know how
sure,
that is.
Sure, yeah.
It had, before I went to bed that night, it had over 15,000 views.
Love it.
You know, well, the story disappeared, but the analytics on the just a regular Instagram post were well over 120,000 views.
Yeah.
So that's not bad for just a simple static picture.
Just on for a little sausage maker there in Seguin, right outside of San Antonio. All right. Before we let you go, Bill, what's kicking around in your brain for what's next? What's the wild thing that you're thinking about that maybe you haven't done yet that you want to try to see if you can incorporate into a sausage casing?
Well, there's always something, you know. We had some extra brisket trim, you know, chop that I don't want to sell to the customer across the block. Sure. And that's always a challenge. What in the hell do I do with that from an operator standpoint? So we're going to make a birria sausage.
Oh, nice.
With that one.
Yeah.
That'll be done Boudin style. So that's coming up. And then the relatable sausage that I want to do. Come on, man. You know you've done it. Come on. It's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You got the munchies and you're coming back from the club. Where are you rolling through? Jack in the box drive through.
There you go. Yeah. I like it.
The Jack in the Box 3 for $1 crispy taco sausage.
Okay.
They're all in there.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I love I love the creativity that that's available in that art form. That's the part that I love the most.
Yeah, myself as well. It's endless, you know, and the inspiration strikes you where inspiration strikes you, you know. So I was thinking about, you know, with everything that happened with Ozzy, you know, God rest his soul, that the Prince of Darkness sausage was well received. I'm like, what else can I make that's really in the headlines right now? Well, maybe it's the Zelensky and Putin peace accord sausage. Yeah, I don't know
where you find a good Ukrainian sausage to work in, but I'm sure you if anybody can figure it out, Bill, I feel like you're the guy that can figure it out how to make a Ukrainian dish and a Russian dish in peace in the middle of a sausage casing. That's your next task.
Yeah, that doesn't make it want to lob rockets across each side.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. By the way, have y'all ever done a pecan pie? Because that's funny, one of my favorites.
Actually, yes, for Troubadour Festival mm-hmm. in 2021,
yeah.
The very first Troubadour Festival, I did a chocolate pecan pie sausage. Mm.
Thanks.
That was served with, check this out.
Okay.
Blow your mind. So the chocolate pecan pie sausage was served with a caramel coffee sauce, whipped cream, and candied pecans.
Love it.
Love it.
I mean, that's nothing. Sounds absolutely delightful. And I'm sad I missed that Troubadour Fest. That's a miss by me. That's for sure. Hey, yeah. Don't forget, anyone who wants to follow along with Bill's adventures in sausage, at @sausage_sensei on Instagram. Yep. He's on Facebook. He's all over the place. You can go find him anywhere. Just look at Bill Dumas or Sausage Sensei and you'll find him. Bill, thanks so much for taking some time for us, man. We do appreciate it. Go visit him down at Schultz's Pit Room in Seguin, right outside of San Antonio. You will be very pleased that you did. And make sure you get whatever the sausage of the day is, because you know you're going to love it.
The wiener of the day.
That's right. That's right. And look, anybody that walks in your place is a wiener. There's no doubt about that. We know that, Bill.
Yeah, never a missing link, never a weak link.
Brother, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Big thanks to Bill Dumas for joining us, the Sausage Sensei. Again, you can find him on all the social media platforms, Sausage Sensei. Bill Dumas, just doing incredible work. The Aussie sausage, the red, white, and blue sausage, all of that stuff. And got some fun stuff on the horizon as well. All right, it's time for The Smoke, where we hear from you, the viewer, the listener. Get your thoughts on previous interviews, on what we've got going on, some maybe ideas on what you'd like to hear. We will read all of those in this segment that we call The Smoke. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email patrick@thebbqhound.com. You can text us or leave a voicemail. That is 318-657-0HAM, 318-657-0426, if you would like to find us there as well. So we've got all of that coming up, and love to have you getting in touch with us and giving us your thoughts. So for this edition of The Smoke, let's start with Instagram. We had a couple of comments on our Brett Kawada posts. Harold Pitmaster said, really interesting interview. That's an amazing accomplishment, and he's very humble about it. He deserves the prizes he gets. Thanks for the shout out in the Smoke segment last week. Another great 903 barbecue joint is JW Barbecue in Jacksonville. Plenty of good ones over there. Regina Travels on Instagram said, what a nerd at The Real B. Kawada, talking about Brett Kawada. We appreciate those comments. We also had a few comments over on the YouTube channel. Going back a little bit, we had a negative comment. We'll read those too. Jack Solomon 9513 on YouTube, commenting on the Sunbird Barbecue interview, said the location is horrible and how can you run out of pork belly tacos when you just opened? I was fourth in line. Well, you know, Sunbird is one of those places that does a hybrid of phone call-ins and in-line ordering. Sometimes they shut the phones down depending on what they have to make sure that people in line can get the food. But when they've got a limited edition item, sometimes people will call in. I'll be honest with you. I think everywhere you go, if you know there's a limited edition, limited menu item for you to look at, definitely call ahead, especially for a place like Sunbird where they take call ahead orders. Call ahead, make sure they've got something for you. I promise you those guys are not trying to deny you the opportunity to eat where you're at. As far as the location goes, it's a little small, but like a lot of places in the world of Texas barbecue, it's not a massive joint. So yeah, you go in, you sit down, you relax, you get in line. That's what happens sometimes. Snows is not a big place. Most of the seating is outside. Right? A lot of the places that you look at are not huge places. So understand that going in, that you may have to fight a little bit for seating. On the Brett Kawada interview from last week, FWT Bobber on YouTube said, wait, you're telling me this top 50 is a competition and they give out prizes for eating barbecue? I might need to look into this. Yeah, so Texas Monthly has a thing where with their top 50 list, if you complete the top 50 list in a certain amount of time, and it's usually a number of people that do it, then you can win some prizes. But in the past, they've had Yeti coolers and things like that. I don't know what the prizes are this year. Obviously, Brett Kawada is going to get all the prizes that are available, as he was the first guy to do it. Red and Blue Bulldog did a lot of commenting, said, I do hope you'll do remotes and on-sites at various places. You ought to do one from every town the Demons play football in this season. I think you should also do places like Grayson's in Clarence, which is right outside of Natchitoches, and Neiman's in Texarkana, which, by the way, Neiman's just opening a place here in Shreveport. You should also do holiday specials, Halloween in costume, of course, Thanksgiving, do a turkey or turkey leg episode, Christmas, ham or something, just ideas. Appreciate the ideas, Red and Blue Bulldog. We are definitely looking at a lot of different special episodes as we go along. Right now, obviously, just a few in. We're trying to just make sure that we've got everything the way we need it to be and ready to go. We want to get the basics down and good before we start going and expanding a little bit. Red and Blue Bulldog also said you should do an economics episode, like a cheap barbecue special. Who's the cheapest without sacrificing quality? What are the costs involved with trucks versus storefronts? Things like that. Also a great idea, Red and Blue Bulldog. I appreciate it. And finally, his last comment on the Brett Kawada interview. How about best gas station barbecue in Louisiana or the Arklatex? That could be a limited series idea. Also do an episode from Burgess in Louisville, Arkansas. I love that place. Yeah, Burgess is a pretty cool little spot in Louisville. If you've never been there, incredible ice cream cones that are big as your arm. Incredible stuff. And they've got really, really good ham and turkey and stuff like that. Burgess is a pretty special little spot. Also, I don't know about gas station barbecue in Louisiana. I feel like gas station food in Louisiana is incredible. I don't know about gas station barbecue in Louisiana, though. I think Louisiana is lacking in barbecue. New Orleans has some places. Ruston's got a good spot. I think Minden, just a little east of here, is pretty good. There's some places around the central area. We're going to actually talk to Sweetie from Sweetie's Barbecue down in Natchitoches. He's won a bunch of awards and has opened up a place down there. So we'll get to some Louisiana barbecue soon, but I don't think gas station barbecue in Louisiana is the way to go. If you're eating gas station food in Louisiana, I promise you it's good. I'm just not sure I'd go with barbecue. Thank you so much for all of your comments and questions and ideas. Keep them coming. We love to hear from you, and we want to continue to hear from you, get your thoughts as we give you the smoke every week, week in and week out. That's it for this episode of The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. We'll see you next week. We'll